What is the quickest way to receive an answer to prayer, even in the most impossible situations? Find out on today's Believer's Voice of Victory as Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle conclude their teaching, Getting Your Prayers Answered.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland, and this is the Believer's Voice of Victory. Praise God. Every believer, every born-again child of God has a voice. It is not an echo, a voice. The voice of victory, the voice of faith, the voice of prayer. Praise God. Hallelujah. And I'm thrilled about it. And I'm thrilled to have Jerry Savelle here today. Praise God. We need to
cover this ground on the different kinds of prayer, because I want to get down to that prayer petition. Mm-hmm. We need
next week on that prayer petition.
We'll spend all next week
on
that.
And so let's dive into this and cover this ground here, if you would just lead us in there. Praise the Lord.
Well, once again, from Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, and I'm reading from the Amplified, that we need to pray at all times, on every occasion, every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer. Another translation says all kinds of prayer. So that means there's more than one kind of prayer.
All times.
Yeah. Well, that ties into what Jesus said. Men ought always to pray.
Always to pray.
Yeah.
And then over in the book of Philippians, the Apostle Paul said, don't be anxious about anything.
Yeah.
But in everything, through prayer and thanksgiving, let your wants be made known to God.
Right.
There's a life here.
Yeah.
The life of prayer is not just, oh God, oh God, oh God. The life of prayer is a life of communication with Jesus through the Holy Ghost and the Word all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
Yeah. And if God's talking to you all the time, how can you fail?
You won't.
You won't fail. If you're hearing from God all the time and He's ordering your steps, telling you what to do, how to do it, you can't fail. That's why the statement you made, 42 years ago when I heard it, that every Christian failure is a prayer failure or a failure to pray.
It's not a God failure.
No. God's not the author of failure. His Word works. Holy Spirit works. Jesus works. All those weapons that are not carnal that we've been given, they work. So if there's any failure, it's got to be me. I'm missing it somewhere. But thank God, once I get the Word of God in me and it begins to renew my mind, it's abiding in me, then my failing becomes a thing of the past.
Now you've hit on something here, and I want to just tap this and then we'll go ahead. But this is true in any of the different kinds of prayer. Don't ever blame a prayer failure on God or anybody else. It's not the people's fault. It's not your wife's fault. It's not your husband's fault. I don't care what your husband and wife are doing. Shall their unbelief make the Word of God of no effect, the book of Romans says? And then it says, God forbid. So
right.
God has forbidden that.
Right.
Somebody else's unbelief is not going to affect your prayer life unless you let it. Now, it may have an effect on it, but you just stay right where you are because God will see you through it by faith. Don't you blame the failure on Him or anybody else. You stand up and be responsible. God, you can't miss it. I'm the one that missed it. I'm the one that needs to be changed here.
Right.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And that's really the starting point,
isn't it?
For developing a mature prayer life is accepting the fact that God can't miss it.
No.
God can't miss His Word.
And
can't
it is
miss
His
it.
Will for you to succeed.
That's right. Thanks be unto God who causes us to triumph always. So win a few, lose a few is not the way God thinks.
No.
God thinks win every time.
No. Every time.
Well, the different kinds of prayer that Paul is talking about here. Number one is the prayer of dedication and worship, which we talked about on yesterday's broadcast, where you are simply saying to God, I am willing to do whatever you want me to do.
Yeah, amen.
I'm willing to to move to Texas. I'm willing to move to Alaska. I'm willing to move to China. That's the prayer of dedication and worship. And then the prayer of thanksgiving and praise. Now, a lot of people would think, well, what do you mean prayer of thanksgiving and praise? I like to look at the prayer of thanksgiving and praise where I don't ask God for a thing. I just spend the day worshiping Him. I just enjoy praising Him and thanking Him for what He's already done.
Yeah.
You know, I like to say it this way. You know, thanksgiving and prayer keeps you in good stead. God enjoys an attitude of gratitude.
Oh, well, yeah.
I mean, who doesn't? You know, I mean, I tend to want to do more for people who are grateful for what you do for them. You know, the person that never says thank you, the person who just acts like, you know, you were obligated to do it to him. You know, Carol and I have this thing about people that we bless people all the time. And we bless some people more than once or twice or four or five times. But when we never, ever see any attitude of gratitude, I think, what's the matter with this person? You know, why don't they ever show any gratitude? I can't imagine everything that God has done in my life and me never saying thank you, me never expressing gratitude for it. I think a good example is those 10 lepers.
You know?
They all had leprosy. They all cried out wanting to be healed. And Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And the Bible says, as they went, they were all cleansed. Every one of them was cleansed of leprosy. But then it says, but only one came back and fell at his feet and worshiped him.
He gave him praise.
And Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. He not only got cleansed, but there was no evidence that disease was ever in his body.
Restoration was a higher step than just being cleansed of that disease.
Right.
Because where that disease had cost that person, you know, maybe his ear, maybe his fingers and so forth, as that disease, horrible thing does. But he got his fingers back.
Yeah. And notice it was because of an attitude of gratitude, thanksgiving and praise.
That's where they put obedience. Remember what they prayed? Have mercy on us. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. They obeyed.
Yeah.
I mean, that's simple, isn't it? They prayed. Jesus told them what to do. Mm-hmm. Now, they said, no, we don't want to go to the priest. We want you to heal us. It'd have been over right there because they wouldn't have obeyed what he said.
Right.
But when they did it and obeyed it, the disease was over.
Mm-hmm.
But then one of them came back and fell down before him and began to give God praise and worship. He stayed in that presence and it took him right up on a creative level. It was there all the time. The other guys were in that same place, but they didn't get up to that other level of prayer. So there's two different kinds of prayer hooked together.
Mm-hmm.
And it just kept producing as it expanded and grew.
Well, that attitude of gratitude takes you to another level. You know, it opens a realm of the blessings of God like nothing else can.
It overlapped.
Yeah.
The request, obedience to the command, thanksgiving and praise,
mm-hmm.
the different kinds of prayer were overlapping, which they're designed to do. God didn't design this thing at just this and this and this and this. He did that so we could study it.
Right.
But as it overlapped, man, it got up to a place through thanksgiving and praise that it didn't get there for the others.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's like, you know, if you were to say, Jerry, before you leave today, let's go down to Neiman Marcus and I'd like to buy you a new suit. Well, my first reaction would be, thank you, Brother Coleman. That's very kind of you. And I hadn't even seen the suit yet.
Yeah.
That's thanksgiving. That's confidence. That's faith. That's the highest form of faith that exists, is to say thank you
on
before
the word.
You ever see anything.
Yes, it is.
And see, that's
Jesus
said that,
Jerry. You remember the guy that responded by the word? He said, you don't even have to come to my house. All you have to do is say the word, my servant will be healed.
Yeah.
He said, I have not found so great a faith in all of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
He marveled at the guy's faith. Why? The only evidence the man needed was his word.
Yeah. Well, you add the prayer of thanksgiving to the prayer of faith that is talked about in Mark 11:24. Where Jesus said, you believe, you receive when you pray. Now, if you truly believe you receive when you pray, next thing you're going to do is offer thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So a lot of times, while I'm waiting for the manifestation of what I believed I received, I don't go pray that prayer again. I am offering thanksgiving now. In other words, I believed I received when I prayed. God, I thank you that the finances I talked to you about yesterday,
I believe I received them,
and I'm thanking you for them.
We quoted that a while ago. The Apostle Paul said, and particularly in the Amplified Translation, it says, continue making your wants known to God, not through asking again, but through the praise and thanksgiving. That's the way it continually stays in His presence. It isn't that He forgets or doesn't know.
Mm-hmm.
It's that you stay in that high place of faith. What the big gun of faith is thanksgiving and praise.
Right.
And you stay there by you just continuing to keep that fresh and alive in the throne of grace in yourself.
Yeah.
Before God.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you.
And Satan has no defense in
himself. No, he doesn't. No, because the 8th and 9th Psalm says it defeats him.
That's right.
Stills him, stops him.
Yeah, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast ordained praise. And it also says in another place, and you've perfected strength.
Yeah.
So he's saying strength comes from praise.
Yeah. Jesus said that.
Yeah. And so, you know, when you've prayed and you believe you receive, and now you spend the rest of that time not praying that prayer again, but thanking God.
Now, Jerry, now you've brought us into a place here. You and I have talked about this. In fact, you brought it up today, and it really set me on fire again. The prayer of petition stands out, and in my mind, and from what I've seen in the Word and in practice in my own prayer life for all these years, it stands out encompassing all of these different kinds of prayer. First of all, you can't make a petition without knowing the will of God.
That's right.
If I'm going to petition you with something, I got to have a petition to petition with.
Mm-hmm.
If you're the city, I need to know what the law is.
Right.
I need to know what to petition you with. There's got to be something. You've said something. There's some record of something for me to petition authority with. It brings in the praise of God because I know what you said.
Mm-hmm.
Sir, I'm here to petition. We'll get into that. And I want to praise you and thank you for saying that. That's mine, and I thank you for it. I mean, you can begin that with praise.
Well, that's why John says, and we'll get into this next week, but that's why John says in 1 John 5:14-15 that this is the confidence. See, when you already know what the law says, when you already know what the records say, when you already know what God says,
you don't come in there wondering.
You come in there with a petition, and you know you're going to get what you asked for.
And you know what the 18th verse says? And that wicked one touches you not.
Yeah.
He can't even get in there.
That's like out there where we are on the south side of Fort Worth. You know, the Lord told me years ago, He said, I want you to buy up all this land you can get your hands on and get the mineral rights, you know. So we got land for our ministry headquarters, and then we got some more land for the church campus, you know. Well, there was like 20 acres left that I wanted for that church campus. And that was only 20 acres in that plot there that I didn't have. And so, you know, the people kept saying, no, we won't sell, we won't do this, we won't do that. But one day, I come around that corner back there, and somebody had put up a sign requesting permission for rezoning that 20 acres. And I saw that, and I thought, no, what's going on here? So I called one of my employees, and I said, go down to City Hall and find out what that's about. Well, come to find out, this guy that owned it, he was going to turn it into commercial property, get it rezoned, and the guy that he was going to sell it to was going to come in there and build a trailer park, mobile home park, and storage buildings. And it had been right behind my church property, and I needed that property, for the plans that we had for that campus. And so I said, no, they can't do that, because I knew the law said before they can ever rezone that, I was the only property owner out there. They have to come and tell me first that we're going to ask for permission for rezoning. I said, so you find out when they're going to ask for that, and you go down, send a representative. I said, you go down there, and you sit there in that session, and when it comes up, you tell them, Mr. Savelle, protest. We do not want that back here on that property, and the reason we don't is because we got plans for it. We want to buy it, and not only that, you're going to buy it illegally. I knew the law said you have to come and inform me first.
So you had a petition.
And so that was the basis for my petition.
Wow, yeah.
So he went down there, and the judge got involved in it, you know, and he asked the guy that owned the property, said, why do you want this rezoned? He said, because I'm going to put trailer park and storage buildings and all in here. He said, well, you didn't go about it properly. And Mr. Savelle has brought that to our attention. You didn't inform him first or other property owners out there your intentions. And Mr. Savelle has brought that to our attention. And so he turned to my representative. The judge said, well, what does Mr. Savelle want him to do? He said he wants him to sell it to him, and he's prepared to buy it. And the judge said, you want to sell it to him? He said, yeah, I'll sell it to him. You know? They ruled in our favor. But why? Because I knew the law. That was the basis for my petition. That's what the prayer of petition is. You have to know the will of God before you can ever petition God. And when you know the will of God up front, then that's why John says, and this is the confidence you have.
And that's the key.
That's the key.
This is heaven's regulations.
Yeah.
I didn't understand why Satan got away with what he did in the Garden of Eden. I didn't understand why that happened and so forth and so on down through the years. And so I began to study it, and I began to seek God about it.
Yeah.
And revelation of it. And here's what the Lord showed me, Jerry. He said, back there then, there was no written word of record of the law.
Yeah.
I never thought about that. And then he said, now, over the years, over the times, let's say, for instance, you and I live out here in the Badlands, ain't no government, there's nothing. But you and I enter into an agreement. We enter into a covenant with one another. And I promise you certain things, you promise me certain things. Mm-hmm. We've created a law, mm-hmm. and we write it down. Now, if you don't do what you promise, you violated the law that was put between us.
Right.
If you and I keep that word and we keep that law, it binds our families. And as it grows, that becomes the law between our families, which turned into a community, which turned into a government, or what so.
Right.
Now, these two covenants were written in the heat of battle in this earth.
Yeah.
And exposed sin, right and wrong, and God's will for all things. This will stand. Jesus said it will never pass away, and it will stand as the law of the ages throughout the eons of eternity.
Mm-hmm.
That just thrilled me, and I got a copy of it.
Yeah, praise God.
Amen.
Listen to what David said in Psalm 20. Now, this is a pretty bold statement. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions.
Ah!
The Lord will fulfill all your petitions. But then listen to what he said in Psalm 9.
He never laid a one before him that he didn't.
No, but listen at the confidence in which he could say that in Psalm 9, for you have maintained my right and my cause. So what's he saying? God, I know what your word says. I know what the law says. And because I know what the law says, that's the basis upon which I petition you, and you fulfill all my petitions. Why? Because I know by what you said in your word, I have a right to
this.
Now,
religion has a backward idea about this that I wouldn't dare say that to God. He's liable to slap me on my back. Not if he's honest. Mm. No. You don't embarrass God when you bring his word to him. And you don't put a frown on his face. That's when he begins to smile, because the one that believes his word will come out victorious, and God gets the praise for it.
I remember saying to the Lord one time, "Do I carry that much weight with you?" He said, "You have no idea how much weight you carry with me." But the prayer petition comes under that third category of prayer that changes things.
Oh, Lord.
And that's, to me right now, all these prayers, kind of prayers, are important. Under the prayer that changes things is the prayer of agreement, the prayer of binding and loosing, the prayer of intercession, and the prayer of petition. But because of what the body of Christ is going through right now, and all the turmoil that's going on in the world, and the chaos, and the economy, and all that stuff, the recession, I've discovered over the last 40 years that the prayer that seems to produce the quickest results in the most impossible-looking situations is the prayer petition.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's why I want to spend a week on it.
I totally agree and confirm that. Let me ask you something. We just got a minute left here, and I want to lay this before you. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you see all this mess going on around you, and there's a sense of detachment from it? You have no sense of alarm about the economy and what's going on. You're just kind of looking out through the windows and looking at this. That's what the 91st Psalm says. Mm-hmm. And so does the Isaiah 54. That we're just looking out through these windows, and only with thine eyes shall you see all this destruction that comes, and 1,000 on one side and 10,000 on the other, and when all the dust clears, there stands you.
Come by thee.
Yeah, but you can't just stir that up or make that up. Mm-hmm. It comes from a life of prayer and known separation from the world. You don't separate from the world by dressing peculiar.
Yeah.
You can dress that way if you like, but that's not going to separate you from the world. What separates you from the world is revelation from God and His Word.
Yeah.
My. We're going to have a good time next week,
man. We're going to have a great time.
And Jerry and I will be back in just a moment.
Join us for the 2011 31st Annual Southwest Believers Convention in Fort Worth, Texas, July 4th through the 9th. 5 power-packed days designed to put you personally in touch with God. Don't miss this opportunity to discover your full potential. Immerse yourself in the Word with teachings from Kenneth Copeland, Gloria Copeland, Jerry Savelle, Jesse Duplantis, and Creflo Dollar. Friday morning, join Kenneth Copeland for a dynamic partners meeting. Saturday morning, Gloria Copeland teaches healing school. Come expecting to receive your healing. Terry Copeland Pearsons hosts pre-service prayer Monday through Friday. Youth services are available Monday through Saturday, 1440. Student Ministries equips students to make every minute count for the glory of God for ages 13 to 18. Commander Kelly and the Super Kid Academy will be in session for kids ages 6 to 12. It's all free. July 4th through the 9th, the 2011 Southwest Believers Convention. For the household of faith, everything is going to be all right.
Now, Friday is always offering day on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, because that's what the Lord taught us and trained us and commanded us to do. Now, this is talking about money. It's also talking about spiritual laws, fruit of the flesh, fruit of the Spirit. Now, let him that's taught in the word communicate unto him or respond to him that teaches in good things. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. Now, let's apply the laws of petition here. You can do it right now. You go to the Lord and you say, Lord, I want to respond to what I've heard all this week through the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast, Brother Savelle and Brother Copeland. And I know I reap what I sow. Reveal to me, please, what you would have me do. And then just be quiet. Whatever you're impressed with, do it. Mm-hmm. But now, Jerry, read those two things there from what David said.
Well, he starts off in Psalm 20 and says, the Lord will hear you in the day of trouble. So that's good news. He goes on to say, and he will remember all your offerings. And then he goes on to say, and he will fulfill all your petitions.
He will.
He's able, but he will.
If you're just trying to make up something, that's one thing. But when you get quiet before him, and you do what you believe he's impressed you to do.
Yeah.
You might have even missed that, but with all your heart you believe it, God will move on your faith.
Yeah.
And he'll correct you later as you go. But you take that stand and that becomes a prayer rock.
Yeah.
He hears all of my petitions.
Add that to Isaiah 55. Your word will not return void.
Not return.
Here's what I do. I say, Lord, I even take my check stub sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and say, now, Lord, you said give and it'll be given to me. You said that you remember all my offerings. I have a record here of all my offerings, and I'm in need here financially. So here's my petition. I'm basing it on your word, and I sow my seed, and your word says you will never forget my offering, and you will fulfill my petition. Thank you. Amen. I believe I receive.
Father, we praise you. We receive this offering today from your people. And we thank you for revealing to them your will for their part of this ministry. And we give you the praise and the honor. And we stand on your word, Jesus, from Mark 10, 29 and 30. For anyone that gives for my sake in the gospel shall receive in this life 100-fold.
Hallelujah.
And we thank you for it. We stand on prayer rocks of foundation.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Brother Savelle and I'll be back Monday. Go to church this weekend. Praise God. Cause a revival or a riot, but don't just be neutral. Amen. We'll see you then. Till then, remember this. Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. For today's broadcast on DVD or CD, our product offer, or for more information on KCM, visit kcm.org. Online, you'll find free ministry resources to help you live every day in faith. Receive God's promise that everything is going to be all right.